Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Priest Embracing Islam, prepared by Abu Karim. Story number 2. Abdullah M. Al-Farouq, formerly Kenneth L. Jenkins, minister and elder of the Pentecostal Church, USA. Let's listen to him. As a former minister and elder of the Christian Church, it has become incumbent upon me to enlighten those that continue to walk in darkness. After embracing Islam, I felt a dire need to help those who have not yet been blessed to experience the light of Islam. I thank Almighty God, Allah, for having mercy upon me, causing me to come to know the beauty of Islam as taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his rightly guided followers. It is only by the mercy of Allah that we receive true guidance and the ability to follow the straight path, which leads to success in this life and the hereafter. Praise be to Allah for kindness shown to me by Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz bin Baz, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, upon my embracing Islam. May Allah have mercy on his soul, one of the greatest scholars. I cherish and will pass on the knowledge gained from each meeting with him. There are many others who have helped me by means of encouragement and knowledge. Sufficient it is to say that I thank Almighty God Allah for each and every brother and sister that Allah has allowed to play a role in my growth and development as a Muslim. I pray that this short work will be of benefit to all. I hope that Christians will find that there is yet, I hope, for the wayward conditions that prevail over the bulk of Christendom. I pray that this short work will be of benefit to all. I hope that Christians will find that there is yet, I hope, there is yet a hope for the wayward conditions that prevail over the bulk of Christendom. The answers to Christian problems are not to be found with the Christians themselves, for they are, in most instances, the root of their own problems. Rather, Islam is the solution to the problems plaguing the world of Christianity and the world at large, as well as the problems facing the so-called world of religion as a whole. May Allah guide us all and reward us according to the very best of our deeds and intentions. As a young boy, I was raised with a deep fear of God. Having been partially raised by a grandmother who was a Pentecostal fundamentalist, the church became an integral part of my life at a very early age. By the time I had reached the age of 6, I knew all too well the benefits awaiting me in heaven for being a good little boy and the punishment awaiting in hell for little boys who are naughty. I was taught by my grandmother that all liars were doomed to go to the hellfire, where they would burn forever and ever. My mother worked 2 full-time jobs and continued to remind me of the teachings given to me by her mother. Every Sunday, we would go to the church, or we would go to church dressed in all of our finery. My grandmother was our means of transportation. Church would last for what seemed to me like hours. We would arrive at around 11 in the morning and not leave until sometimes 3 in the afternoon. Our grandfather was not a church goer, but he saw to it that my family made it there every Sunday. Sometime later, he suffered a stroke, which left him partially paralyzed, and as a result, we were unable to attend church on a regular basis. This period of time would be one of the most crucial stages of my development. Rededication. I was relieved in a sense at no longer being able to attend church, but I would feel the urge to go on my own every now and then. At age 16, I began attending the church of a friend whose father was the pastor. It was a small storefront building with only my friend's family, myself, and another schoolmate as members. This went on for only several months before the church closed down. After graduating from high school and entering the university, I rediscovered my religious commitment and became fully immersed in Pentecostal teachings. I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, as the experience was then called. As a college student, I quickly became the pride of the church. Everyone had high hopes for me, and I was happy to once again be on the road to salvation. I attended church every time its doors would open. I studied the Bible for days and weeks at a time. I attended lectures given by the Christian scholars of my day, and I acknowledged my call to the ministry at the age of 20. I began preaching and became well known very quickly. I was extremely dogmatic and believed that no one could receive salvation unless they were of my church group. I categorically condemned everyone who had not come to know God the way I had come to know Him. I was taught that Jesus Christ, peace be upon Him, and God Almighty were one and the same thing. I was taught that our church did not believe in the Trinity, but I was taught that our church did not believe in the Trinity, but that Jesus, peace be upon Him, was indeed the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I tried to make myself understand it, even though I had to admit that I really did not fully understand it. As far as I was concerned, it was the only doctrine that made sense to me. I admired the holy dress of the woman and the pious behavior of the men. I enjoyed practicing a doctrine where women were required to dress in garments covering themselves completely, not painting their faces with makeup, and carrying themselves as true ambassadors of Christ. I was convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that I had finally found the true path to eternal bliss. I would debate with anyone from a different church with different beliefs and would totally silence them with my knowledge of the Bible. I memorized hundreds of biblical passages, and this became a trademark of my preaching. Yet, even though I felt assured of being on the right path, a part of me was still searching. I felt that there was an even higher truth to be attained. I would meditate while alone and pray to God to lead me to the correct religion and to forgive me if what I was doing was wrong. I had never had any contact with Muslims at that time. The only people I knew that claimed Islam as their religion were the followers of Elijah Muhammad, who were referred to by many as the Black Muslims or the Lost Found Nation. It was during this period in the late 70s that Minister Louis Farrakhan was well into rebuilding what was called the Nation of Islam. Even though they were away from Islam and had nothing to do with Islam. I went to hear Minister Farrakhan speak at the invitation of a co-worker and found it to be an experience that would change my life dramatically. I had never in my life heard another black man speak the way that he spoke. I immediately wanted to arrange a meeting with him to try to convert him to my religion. I enjoyed evangelizing, hoping to find lost souls to save from the hellfire, no matter who they were. After graduating from college, I began to work on a full-time basis. As I was reaching the pinnacle of my ministry, the followers of Elijah Muhammad became more visible, and I appreciated their efforts in attempting to rid the black community of the evils that were destroying it from within. I began to support them in a sense by buying their literature and even meeting with them for dialogue. I attended their study circles to find out exactly what they believed. As sincere as I knew many of them were, I could not buy the idea of God being a black man. I disagreed with their use of the Bible to support their position on certain issues. Here was a book that I knew very well, and I was deeply disturbed at what I deemed was their misinterpretation of it. I had attended locally supported Bible schools and had become quite knowledgeable in various fields of Bible study. After about 6 years, I moved to Texas and became affiliated with two churches. The first church was led by a young pastor who was inexperienced and not very learned. My knowledge of the Christian scriptures had by this time developed into something abnormal. I was obsessed with biblical teachings. I began to look deeper into the scriptures and realized that I knew more than the present leader. As a show of respect, I left and joined another church in a different city where I felt that I could learn more. The pastor of this particular church was very scholarly. He was an excellent teacher, but had some ideas that were not the norm in our church organization. He held somewhat liberal views, but I still enjoyed his indoctrination. I was soon to learn the most valuable lesson of my Christian life, which was, all that glitters is not gold. Despite its outward appearance, there were evils taking place that I never thought were possible in the church. These evils caused me to reflect deeply, and I began questioning the teachings to which I was so dedicated. Welcome to the real church world. Welcome to the real church world. I soon discovered that there was a great deal of jealousy prevalent in the ministerial hierarchy. Things had changed from that to which I was accustomed. Women wore clothing that I thought was shameful. People dressed in order to attract attention, usually from the opposite sex. I discovered just how great a part money and greed play. I discovered just how great a part money and greed play in the operation of church activities. There were many small churches struggling, and they called upon us to hold meetings to help raise money for them. I was told that if a church did not have a certain number of members, then I was not to waste my time preaching there because I would not receive ample financial compensation. I then explained that I was not in it for the money, and that I would preach even if there was only one member present, and I'd do it for free. This caused a disturbance. I started questioning those whom I thought had wisdom, only to find that they had been putting on a show. I learned that money, power, and position were more important than teaching the truth about the Bible. As a Bible student, I knew full well that there were mistakes, contradictions, and fabrications. I thought that people should be exposed to the truth about the Bible. The idea of exposing the people to such aspects of the Bible, was a thought supposedly attributable to Satan. But I began to publicly ask my teachers questions during Bible classes, which none of them could answer. Not a single one could explain how Jesus was supposedly God, and how at the same time he was supposedly the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost wrapped up into one, and yet was not a part of the Trinity. Several preachers finally had to concede that they did not understand it, but that we were simply required to believe it. Cases of adultery and fornication went unpunished. Some preachers were hooked on drugs and had destroyed their lives and the lives of their families. Leaders of some churches were found to be homosexuals. There were pastors even guilty of committing adultery with the young daughters of other church members. All of this, coupled with a failure to receive answers to what I thought were valid questions, was enough to make me seek a change. That change came when I accepted a job in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. A new beginning. It was not long after arriving in Saudi Arabia that I saw an immediate difference in the lifestyle of the Muslim people. They were different from the followers of Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan in that they were of all nationalities, colors, and languages. I immediately expressed a desire to learn more about this peculiar brand of religion. I was amazed with the life of Prophet Muhammad. and wanted to know more. I requested books from one of the brothers who was active in calling people to Islam. I was supplied with all of the books that I could possibly want. I read each and every one. I was then given the Holy Quran and read it completely several times within 4 months. I asked questions after questions and received satisfactory answers. What appealed to me was that the brothers were not keen on impressing me with their knowledge. If a brother did not know to answer a question, he would tell me that he simply didn't know and would have to check with someone who did. The next day, he would always bring the answer. I noticed how humility played such a great role in the lives of these mysterious people of the Middle East. I was amazed to see the women covering themselves from face to foot. I did not see any religious hierarchy. No one was competing for any religious position. All of this was wonderful. But how could I entertain the thought of abandoning a teaching that had followed me since childhood? What about the Bible? I knew that there is some truth in it, even though it had been changed and revised countless numbers of times. I was then given a video cassette of a debate between Sheikh Ahmed Didat and Reverend Jimmy Swaggart. After seeing the debate, I immediately became a Muslim. You can listen to the debate at this web site, www.islam.org. You can download the books of Sheikh Ahmed Didat from these websites, www.ahmed-didat.co.za or www.aljum'ah.com. Aljum'ah is aljame number3.com. I officially declared my acceptance of Islam. It was there that I was given sound advice on how to prepare myself for the long journey ahead. It was truly a birth from darkness into light. I wondered what my peers from the church would think when they heard that I had embraced Islam. It was not long before I found out. I went back to the United States for vacation and was severely criticized for my lack of faith. I was stamped with many labels, from renegade to reprobate. From renegade to reprobate, people were told by so-called church leaders not to even remember me in prayer. As strange as it may seem, I was not bothered in the least. I was so happy that Almighty God, Allah, had chosen to guide me aright, that nothing else mattered. Now I only wanted to become a dedicated Muslim as I was a Christian. Now I only wanted to become as dedicated a Muslim as I was a Christian. This, of course, meant study. I realized that a person could grow as much as they wanted to in Islam. There is no monopoly of knowledge. It is free to all who wish to avail themselves of the opportunities to learn. I was given a set of Sahih Muslim as a gift from my Quran teacher. It was then that I realized the need to learn about the life, sayings, and practices of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I read and studied as many of the hadith collections available in English as possible. I realized that my knowledge of the Bible was an asset that is now quite useful in dealing with those of Christian backgrounds. Life for me has taken on an entirely new meaning. One of the most profound attitude changes is a result of knowing that this life must actually be spent in preparation for life in the hereafter. It was also a new experience to know that we are rewarded even for our intentions. If you intend to do good, then you are rewarded. It was quite different in the church. The attitude was that the path to hell is paved with good intentions. There was no way to win. If you sinned, then you had to confess to the pastor, especially if the sin was a great sin, such as adultery. You were judged strictly by your actions. The present and future. The present and future. After an interview by the Medina newspaper, I was asked about my present-day activities and plans for the future. At present, my goal is to learn Arabic and continue studying to gain greater knowledge about Islam. I'm presently engaged in the field of da'wah, calling people to Islam, and I'm called upon to lecture to non-Muslims who come from Christian backgrounds. If Allah Almighty spares my life, I hope to write more on the subject of comparative religion. It is the duty of Muslims throughout the world to work to spread the knowledge of Islam. As one who has spent such a long time as a Bible teacher, I feel a special sense of a duty in educating people about the errors, contradictions, and fabricated tales of a book believed in by millions of people. One of the greatest joys in knowing that I do not have to engage in a great deal of dispute with Christians, because I was a teacher who taught most of the dispute techniques used by them. I also learned how to argue using the Bible to defend Christianity, and at the same time I know the counter arguments for each argument, which we as ministers were forbidden by our leaders to discuss or divulge. It is my prayer that Allah, the Almighty, will forgive us all of our ignorance and guide us to the path leading to paradise. All praise is due to Allah. May the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon His last messenger, Prophet Muhammad, his family, companions, and those following true guidance. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. This is the story of Abdullah Muhammad Al-Farooq, Kenneth L. Jenkins, Al-Taif Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. This story is read for you by Dr. Khalid Ibrahim Dosiri from Dammam, Saudi Arabia. Take care, everyone. Salam. Peace.